How do you understand your company's reputation as an employer? Metrics vary from company to company, making it hard to benchmark your progress against competitors. This is where the Employer Brand Index comes in. It analyzes what employees, candidates, and alumni are saying about your company and quantifies these findings into a single score. We can even dive into your talent competitors to really understand how competitive your employer brand is. Our team of talent analysts collect all available data points, discover patterns, and deliver a report full of insights and recommendations. Want to know more? Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, sons of Vason! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Now, how do you attract and retain talent for a specialist role that is threatened by the march of the robots? And one that's probably not the first career that springs to mind for millennials. Well, one way is, of course, to sell the experience. Let's hear all about it in today's expert interview. Hey, Jason, how are you doing?
Great. Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So please tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Jason Kroll. I'm a recruiter, a long-term recruiter in the United States. I handle truck driving over the last 7 years or so because the truck driving sector has become shortage. There's a shortage of CDL qualified truck drivers for various reasons, and I've kind of gravitated toward that because the need is so great. Even in small areas across the country, everybody needs truck drivers. And so I live in a small town in the middle of Colorado, and it's a job that, you know, I can do, and I can make a difference nationwide because truck drivers are an important piece of the economy here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So tell us about Brady Trucking. What's the size of the company? Is that also in Colorado? And what are the products and services?
Sure. Brady's a trucking company, and we started way back 1980 from a trucker, basically. He ran his business really well and then bought a few more trucks. And we had started primarily focusing in the up and down markets of the oil field. The United States is rich in minerals. Yeah, and we do pump our own petroleum. But up until maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was really difficult to get out of the ground. The technology has come a long way as far as fracking goes, and we're part of that fracking process where they explode rock under the ground and then prop it open with sand, and that's how the mineral flows out. Brady Trucking happens to be frack sand haulers in our roots, which requires a certain specialized tanker to drive. And then now we've used that same equipment to get out of the oil field and kind of try and balance our business. We're a trucking company that's been exploding through the oil field, but now also utilizing the equipment in other industries, still trucking related, but in manufacturing, in agriculture, in commerce, in all different applications.
And tell me about trucking as a profession. I know it's in America is a much bigger thing than over here in Europe, and also the future. I read an article around the future of trucking around autonomous vehicles and AI. So there is some hesitation for new talent to move into this space because they think they might just be replaced by robots. So, number of challenges, I assume.
Yeah, well, I guess the main challenges have been brought upon by Americans. Part of it, there's like a perfect storm going on in the United States for the truck driver and the logistics organizations. One of them is that we as middle Americans have not encouraged our children to go into the profession. Mm-hmm. And that has really, we've tried to have our kids go to college and have the better lifestyle because they're going to college, but we don't necessarily focus on the right degree programs that will be for tomorrow's jobs. truck driving jobs are here today, and they're starting to pay quite a bit more than your average college graduate earns when they come out of university, you know. So there's a general philosophy in middle America that we don't send our kids to go be truck drivers. We send them to do something bigger or different. And that's a problem that we put upon ourselves. And then the second part of that perfect storm is the federal regulations. The government has come down a little harder and a little harder over the years on how to regulate this market, including limiting the hours that drivers can drive.
Right.
And so limiting the money that drivers can earn, which is forcing more people out of the market. Maybe people who made 100 grand last year are only going to make 75 grand this year. And, you know, that's going to cause people to look at other types of jobs. And then a third is the retirement age. The truck drivers of the 1970s, the Smokey and the Bandit, and those type of CB radio using, that was a culture in the 70s. I grew up in it. And now those guys are retiring, and more they're retiring. The average age of a truck driver is well over 50 years old right now. And so you have the Americans not encouraging the kids to go into it, the federal regulations coming down on it, and the older drivers retiring. We don't have a bunch coming at the door, knocking at the door to sit in these seats, and freight is up. The economy is up. So more goods need to be shipped, basically. Everything you're sitting here, the computer you're looking at, the chair you're on, the clothes on your back, all came on a truck in the United States. That's just how it works. And so the truck driving need is greater than ever, and the truck driver population is getting smaller.
Well, that's some challenge. Okay, so tell us about your employer brand strategy then to meet this challenge.
Sure. Well, we're up against some mighty, mighty big players. Some of the trucking companies who hire large volumes of truck drivers have a big marketing department and you know, 20 or 30 recruiters that sit on the phone all day and do this type of thing. So we have to compete against that. And I was hired here as an individual contributor, a one-man shop. I now have two on the staff, but still it's a daunting task to compete with a large marketing department from a competitor that's a multi-billion dollar publicly traded organization with our little 300 or 400 truck operation here. We have 300 trucks, and then we hire on 100 contractors to help out. So we're at about 400. And our employer brand is to make ourselves known as that company that was built by a trucker for truckers. So the owner is a trucker. He actually still drives a truck today. He owns a $75 million business and still drives loads today. He'll still haul loads. Not that there's a driver shortage so much that he has to, but that's what he likes to do. Yeah. So his CEO, the president, the vice presidents and directors, the managers, even HR and dispatchers, maintenance, all used to be truckers. And so it's kind of that is our catchphrase, by truckers for truckers. And people take that to mean different things, but it's our brand because we can have empathy for what the trucker goes through. We can have been there and done that and be able to speak to what a trucker's challenges are out on the road. And then also it means that there's opportunity. If you see a guy who's a manager who was a trucker 2 years ago, who's a director and was a trucker 5 years ago, or who owns the company who was a trucker just last year, all that kind of stuff speaks to a certain type of individual who knows that he's a trucker, but knows that he has more to offer. And that in essence is our employer brand, by truckers for truckers.
So is that the virtuous employer brand formula?
Yes. Yeah. Now, I kind of learned that through the Amazon idea that was Phil Strazula of Netscape had mentioned a virtuous cycle that a big retail organization goes through, like Amazon, for instance. They have low prices. So they end up getting a bunch of customers due to low prices. With those the high buying power that they have, they're able to then get lower prices from their suppliers, which allows them to give lower prices to their customers. And that there's a cycle that goes around where they're able to drive costs down so that it's better for their customers, drawing more customers in. And applying that to the brand, we have found that it's the same type of thing. If we are able to show our culture what it really is, and then show it to a wider audience with reach, then the people who see what the brand is, they speak well of the brand. They're interested in the brand and get hired or have a family member or someone they know that's part of the brand at this point, and they're able to talk about the brand. And with a sort of an authenticity, and that's what I called what our virtuous cycle was that it was authentic. It's not us making something up that we're not. This is what we really are, by truckers, for truckers. And so I have people who love that and talk about that on Twitter, or they send out the Instagram pics from on the road about what they do and what their organization is. And that sort of draws a certain type of audience into the culture, interested in the job. And that's our cycle of employer brand, sort of a employer brand. I got to have to cut that, but it's the same.
It's the virtual formula. Yeah, virtuous employer brand formula.
The virtuous employer brand cycle, right?
Cycle, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people that have been brought into, was sucked into that, and I really found it interesting. The way you presented Brady Trucking and what you guys do. So well done. And how do you communicate and activate this? So I imagine it would be to current truck drivers. And where do you find these guys online and so on?
Sure. So we don't just look at current truck drivers. We're looking at the whole population because there's so many needed and there's so many that are part of your extended network that we try to touch uncles and aunts of truck drivers, neighbors of truck drivers, everybody. So we do that primarily through video. About 8 or 10 years ago, one of my bosses told me that video is where it's at. You gotta be in video. So we've really put together an elementary video series that tells stories about truck drivers. We had started the process in video, telling about the company, and we found that when we moved over to telling about the driver and not the company, it had a much higher impact. When the driver tells the story about how he got into it and what it's done for him and kind of something personal about himself, he was in the military or his family needed him to go and do this. So he stays away from home for a few weeks at a time to take care of his babies at home. Those are the type of video stories that have really become the compelling part of our employer brand virtuous cycle. And so not just the truck driver sees those. We deliver these to various geographical locations in targeted social profiles through Instagram, for instance, or through Words with Friends, the online games and whatnot. That's sort of a interruption to what they're doing. But if you get them with a compelling interruption, they opt in oftentimes, or they tell their brother or their uncle to opt in and check it out because they saw the story. People remember in stories and not in facts and figures and mathematical equations. I used to be so into telling what the salary was and telling what the benefits were and telling how great the dental program is. And I've really found that when you've got a hero of the story and he was an underdog and he comes and is being successful as a result of this career or this job, that's what someone remembers and they can identify. And then they say, yeah, I can be part of that.
Interesting. Okay, right. So in terms of, you mentioned facts and numbers and so on, are there any hard lessons that you can share with us that our listeners should try and avoid?
Well, I think I touched on one there. I've seen so many people that try and get into video that spend too much money. They get the professional video, their local professional guy or their local TV company, whatever it is. And it just costs too much. Even if you get someone who specializes in making corporate videos, that looks like a corporate video. And that's really not what I'm talking about. What Brady does, rather than making the official video that tells all the features and benefits of the job, is we tell a story about the guy. And so it doesn't take much. It's a close screenshot of his sincere face. We do get some pics of trucks in there because every truck driver wants to see a pic of a brand new 2019 Peterbilt truck. That's part of our image too, by the way, having beautiful equipment. And so we put some of that in there, but really it's about just telling the story of the guy and not all the overproduction that some video company may want you to have. So my caveat would be, don't spend a bunch of money on this and don't focus on the company as much as on the people who work at the company. That's the essence of the brand, is in what people are talking about the working here. And the guys who work here now talk the best about, you know, what's going on here. They're our easiest subject of the video.
And do you find it easier to identify volunteers to be in these videos?
Incredibly easy. Really, you know, I started the process 3 years ago at my current employer. I have worked on this at other jobs. You know, like I said, in the past, some of my VPs have identified that video is the way to go. And I was in recruiting before we even had computers on the desk, before everybody had a computer on the desk, or before social, and then before video, and before all of this kind of stuff. Now I'm finding that activating this is not as difficult as one might think in a boardroom. All you got to do is ask. These guys got videos on their phone already. They took videos just yesterday. They took pictures last month when they were up in Canada traveling through, you know, the mountains. There's videos and pictures all over the place. So there's content everywhere right now, and you don't have to be a professional to produce it. All you have to do is ask. And then what I've found is that when our employees see themselves or their peers, for instance, on Twitter or on the corporate video, or, you know, just being highlighted in the newsletter, they say, yeah, they want to share it. They want to like it. They want to comment on it. And the key is, next time they want to participate in it. We put out a big biannual newsletter last time around. It was beautiful. It came out really nice and everything. And the day after it came out, I had volunteers for the next biannual newsletter who definitely wanted to write a story and be in the next newsletter. So I find the volunteer quote unquote part is pretty darn easy in this day and age, because there's so much content out there.
That's great. Okay. So talk to us about your tech stack. What do you use to produce these videos and to amplify them?
Sure. So we have a truck driver who's been around for driving for 20 plus years, and then bought a camera, and he started taking pictures while he drove and ended up taking video. And at some point about 2-3 years ago, the video started earning him more money than the driving. And he switched over from being a truck driver who does video to being a videographer of truck drivers. Now, he doesn't work for Brady Trucking. His name is Tex Crowley, James Crowley. He works for Texomatic. There's a shameless plug for him. But we were an early adapter with him, an early customer of his. So he gives us some nice footage, some nice video to work with. So it is professionally done, quote unquote, a lot of the time on the video side of things. The other part of it is distribution, and we use all the social channels, of course. Like I said, online gaming with disruptions to their little puzzle games and whatnot on their phones. Most of our audience is on a mobile device, and most of them are on it all night long because they're in a truck sitting someplace. So this is what they do. And having something for them to watch, having something for them to read, all that kind of stuff is important. So we have a videographer and a video series. The distribution of that goes through social channels quite often, and online channels. And then, of course, we have the YouTube page and all that type of stuff on a career site. So our tech stack is not huge, and we don't use a whole bunch of outsiders from a marketing perspective in order to get things out. It's self-produced videos, it's distribution through social, and then it's sharing and looking for brand reach through employee ambassadors.
And do you have a CRM ATS in place to manage applications?
We do. Yeah, it's a very specific one for the trucking industry, and almost every trucking company would use the same. It's 10 Street, and so it makes it easy to do the DOT federally regulated stuff, and then just works because we actually have the a module that shares job applications between employers. One, if a guy has a job application in there for another employer who uses this ATS, all they have to do is sign their name. They don't have to go through an hour-long job application to get to us.
Right. Okay,
that really is an advantage, huge advantage.
Yeah. Okay. And you mentioned that the reach there, how do you measure the return on investment on this employer branding activity?
So that's a nebulous sort of thing. And I think anybody's going to tell you that when you try and start measuring employer brand. Mm. I think the important thing to measure, my most important thing to measure is an empty seat in a truck.
Yeah.
An empty seat in a truck to me costs like a minimum or an average minimum of $1,000 per day. And if you could see 10 trucks sitting parked because there's no driver in them for 10 days, you can see where that cost would, you know, be the most important metric out of any metric. I read some pieces a couple years ago about how to talk as a recruiter to your CEO and how to talk to your CFO. Well, you got to talk in dollars. They're not worried about time to fill. They're not worried about little metrics of how many leads it took. What they're worried about is dollars, or what they're concerning themselves with is dollars, the bottom line. And the dollars are lost opportunity cost when you don't have a seat filled. And so the primary metric is seats filled, 100% fill. And when they're not, then talking about, you know, what it's going to cost to fill those seats. But we don't start something up and turn something off when a seat's empty. The thing is consistent. There's a pipeline of full-time workers making this thing happen. The video never ends. That's one thing I love about online video, is that it sits there for the rest of our lives, and anybody can find it at any time if they're searching for the certain topic that we're in. So that stuff lives in perpetuity, and then the cost is not huge when you have to start something up and hire 10 more of them. The pipeline's already started. There's a talent community, quote unquote, you can call it, sitting on Facebook, sitting on Twitter, and sitting in our regular audience that read our material. And so it's not hard to, you know, push up and pull down when you need to.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, if you start it once you have some empty seats there, then you're about 4 weeks too late, probably. So, yes, it's about building that network long before you need it, for sure. Right. So what would be your top tips to employer brand managers listening to this right now?
Okay. Be yourself. Don't pretend on being some kind of brand that you're not. That wouldn't make sense, because the guy will get here, get hired, and realize it in about 3 minutes, you know? So that's a turnover instead of a hire. So be yourself. If you're not who you want to be, then we got to make some operational changes or some company changes, but you got to be yourself and tell the truth about yourself. Even the bumpy, ugly underbelly, you got to be honest about yourself. So I think that's most important. And sometimes we got to have those talks about, yeah, this is the year of the truck. It's a 2014 truck you're going to be driving, not a 2018-19 truck. So being yourself is most important. I think then getting your people to be advocates. And that's really easier said than done sometimes, because they don't know how. Oftentimes our employees don't know that they could review the company on social sites, Glassdoor, Indeed, even Facebook. And that would have a positive benefit on us. But so we tell them, we have campaigns to do that, where our regular employees, you know, talk about what we do, and we let them be promoters. You know, so our promoters score goes up and our reach goes further to their networks. Let them be ambassadors. And then I'd say, don't spend too much money on brand. Distribution is important, being who you're going to be, and really picking carefully where your advertising or your piece, your video is going to land. And if you have a good tech mind that can help you with that, there are programs within Instagram, Twitter, within Facebook, and YouTube that will help you really target your audience so that your ad deliveries are really succinct and in the right spot for the right guy. And then do A/B testing. If you try this, try X and try Y, and then you measure it, you decide what works, and then don't try Y if it's not working. Keep going with X.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Final question. Where can our listeners learn more about Brady Trucking? Where can we check out these cool videos? And can they connect with yourself on social media somewhere?
Sure. I'm Jason Kroll. Jason Kent Kroll. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn. And then the company is Brady Trucking. It's drivebrady.com. All our videos that I spoke of, you're not going to find publicly because some of those are very specifically placed in the candidate process, in the candidate experience. So some of them we share when a guy has a certain objection, he sees this video. When a guy's about to meet this trainer, he sees this video. So they're not all publicly sitting there, but there is a YouTube page with 80-something videos and thousands and almost 10,000 watches on some of them. So the YouTube page is Brady Trucking, the Facebook page Brady Trucking, LinkedIn, you'll find it all there.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Jason.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, there you have it, folks. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on iOS, Android, SoundCloud, other fine purveyors of audio programming. Now, what is employer brand really all about? I would say it's your company's reputation as an employer. And what's it made up of? It's a set of experiences from the perspective of a candidate, an alumni, and of course, an employee. So lots of those around. Now, how do you know what these experiences are? Well, the Employer Brand Index is our way of finding out what's being said about your organization in an employment context. So our team of talent analysts collect all available data points, analyze the patterns, crunch it and deliver a report full of insights with a clear action plan. You'll learn what part of your employer brand strategy works and, perhaps more importantly, which one does not work. If you want to learn more, if you want to establish an employer brand baseline, ping me at Jorgen@LinkHumans or simply click onto employerbrandindex.co. Okay. That is it for this week. Farewell, auf Wiedersehen, doei, goodbye. Thank you so much for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey-do!
So recruiters have a thankless job, and oftentimes they're told when something goes wrong or when someone quits or when they're not meeting a metric, but oftentimes they're not told when the guy gets the job, gets the promotion, stays with the company for years, and is a big success, a contributor. So I guess I'm here today to tell you that recruiters are important to an organization more than ever. With a talent shortage, there are more jobs available than there are people to fill them. So the recruiter's job is to map the talent into the organization. We're not here to recruit and attract everybody in the population, but we are here to get a magnet to the right guys so that they're able to get the delivery of the message, interact with us, and then if it's a right opportunity, they opt in and take the job. The recruiter job is most important for that.